那么观世音菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨。Okay, we will pay respect to the Triple Gemma. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami.Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can turn to page 4 of the Puja book. Then we will start the official Puja offering chanting.We will start off with the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa BhagavatoTo Samma Sambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiKamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya MajapamadatanaVeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, we are now chanting the Padipa Puja. Ganna Sarapaditena Dipena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami TamonodangGanda Sambarayutena Dopena Hang Suganghina Pujaye Pujaniyantang Puja Bhajana Muttamang Vanna Ganda Gunopetang Etang Kasumma SantatinPujayami Munindasa Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Punnena Matena Cha Hotu Mokhang ปุปังมิลายะติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตถายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาสิตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริคาปิตังอนุคังปังอุปาทายะปฏิกันหาตุมุตตมังOkay, turn to the last page, page 18. We shall recite the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make this aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind.And help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense.May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma,so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Now we make the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.Okay, we will end the puja by paying respect to the Triple Gem. Buddhang Pacchemi. Dhammang Pacchemi. Sanghang Pacchemi.Okay, you can be seated. So as usual, we can have about 25 minutes of meditation. Today we got more time. So I will off the light. Those who already know how to meditate, you go ahead. Then those who need instruction or what, I will give some short instruction. By now, I think most of you would have get a good understanding of how to train your mind and to develop the meditation. The key point is, if you need to train your mind, then you train. Training the mind got two steps. First, when you understand the hindrance are still there, your spiritual faculty are not strong, then you may need to do the mind sweeping method followed by metta to develop the inner peace leading to inner well-being. This mind sweeping method will decondition your heedless thinking because it trains your mind to feel and relax. There is no more thinking. Then it trains your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then you just feel relaxed and you move on. This will bring about inner peace relatively quickly, and because you just feel, you don't think, it will decondition your heedless thinking. Then the next step is to radiate well-being and metta or love to yourself. You can start off by radiating, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the inner well-being within each and every cell of your entire body and mind, your entire being. That's how you bring about inner peace. You feel it. May I, this body and mind, you feel the body and mind, be well and happy, well and you feel the entire well-being and happiness within each and every physical cells and mind state that you have, your entire being. Then you can continue to radiate this metta. May it to be free from all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. You must feel it as you recite, that your body and mind is really free of all harm and danger, free of all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. Then you can continue to read it. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within my heart. Then you can extend this same metta towards all other beings, starting with your loved ones, people who are close to you, people whom you have a lot of love, affection and care for. Then slowly you extend it to all kayanamitas, all beings within this vicinity of SS2. Then you spread it out to all the other places and realms until the whole universe. Then later on you can even radiate this love to people whom in the past you have aversion towards, dislike towards. It's only when you can break through the form delusion, then you can radiate. Otherwise, when you attach and cling onto the form, you cannot radiate. Form are just form and mind, no reality. It's the mind that grabs, cling, and discriminate. Because you cling onto the form, you give meaning to the external form. So when external form takes effect because of your delusion and attachment, you divide via giving meaning to this external form. Then it will arise all of the division created by thought, by words, by concept and idea. So all these are very important in-depth understanding for you to go beyond form. You have to silence your mind to understand the unreality of form, see clearly its characteristics of impermanent, especially the condition arising characteristic. When you understand it's all condition arising, you will come to know that they are all causal phenomena. Without cause, nothing arises. Because of causes, it supports the arising of the phenomena. Then with the cessation of the condition or the causes, the phenomena ceases to be. Everything is the same. They arise and they pass away. So all of form phenomena, they are very gross, easy to see, easy for you to understand. Not until you can break through and penetrate form, so that you can see clearly the unreality of form, and you see beyond form. Then only you can look at the mind. When you look at the mind, again, you will understand through your own understanding of your own form and mind that even the mind is like invisible, non-tangible. It's not a physical thing that you can see. So no more form delusion, but it still has its content of consciousness, its views and opinion of things. So the mundane mind, which is the consciousness and its content, when you see that, it is still a delusion. If you cannot understand it, deludedly grabs and cling onto it and give meaning, thinking that it's you, then thought or mind delusion will set in. So as you penetrate beyond form, you will see mind. Then you will see the impermanent nature of mind, the unreality of this mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, deluded, heedless thinking mind. Then as you understand you are not deluded, then you will have the ability to accept that reality. Then from there, you are able to silence and just let things be. And then you will touch the true mind, which is the true nature. Only then can you penetrate and see beyond mind. That is the direct seeing from the true mind, from the pure mind. And that is the one that can awaken you. That silent mind, it will insight into phenomena and awaken to its characteristics of nature, their impermanent characteristic, leading to suffering. If you grasp, cling and give meaning through delusion, suffering arises. If you do not, then your mind is always at peace, because it does not create, it does not divide, it does not arise. And with this understanding, the third characteristic will be very clear. Because these are all conditioned arising entity, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold on to or cling on to and say, this is I, this is me, or this can be mine. And because of that, you will penetrate the third characteristics of nature, which is anatta nature. Anatta nature is the non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call self, that you can grasp onto and cling onto. That's why, because of impermanent, you will come to realize the empty nature of existence. Everything is just the way it is, arising and passing away, coming and going, the birth and death of all phenomena. Even your breath, the in and out breath, they arise and they pass away. Your footstep, every step arise and pass away. All of your heartbeat, vibration within your own form and mind. And everything in this world vibrate. That's why it's all in a state of flux. Even the wave, they rise and fall. Your abdomen too, they rise and fall. Even life itself, there are the usual four stages. birth leading to the sustenance phase or the growth phase. Then as it reaches peak, it will decay. Then as it decay, finally, it will die or disappear. That's why you will start to see the three or four phase cycle of all phenomena. The birth of it, the sustenance of it, and the passing away. Then the sustenance, there are two phases. One is the growth phase, the other one is the decaying phase. So you add in this, it becomes the four phase phenomena. Otherwise it's three phase: birth, sustenance, and the passing away. All this you need to develop clear understanding through the silent mind as you meditate and penetrate. So this meditation is very useful. For those who already know how to meditate, who already train their mind, then you can straight away just silence your mind, relax, and be with the moment. Then remember the four support. Relax into every mind state. Maintain awareness. Silent. Don't try to know. The understanding will come by itself. Then after that, develop the 24-hour stability of this mindfulness or silent mind. If you can continue to just relax and silent for as long as you can, then in the formal meditation, you will come to understand many, many things. You will progress along the path of Dhamma very fast. Then as you come out of the formal meditation, after you have trained your mind, you must use this trained mind state to live life, to go into the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, so that you can be mindful or heedful in the midst of life. That is the real meditation. When you can do that, you are beautiful. Then you use the heedful mind to cultivate noble eightfold path, to develop the wisdom, all the noble qualities that you need to be an enlightened being. Enlightened being is a noble being. They are very noble in every aspect of their life, their understanding. So this is how the cultivation is to be developed. And for those who already develop the ability to stabilize this mind, you can just meditate silent and allow the silent to understand. Let the phenomena tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story. Don't be active. When the thought is active, there is no meditation. The real meditation is just silent, effortless, without anything. So all these are very, very deep understanding of the real meditation. But for those who are new, you still need to train. You train. Like just now, after the mind sweeping method, after metta, you need to stabilize that sati or mindfulness. You can use another skillful means, like anapanasati, or any object of meditation that you are familiar with, or even any mantra or chanting that can give you faith and develop the mindfulness of whatever that you chant on. Even when you chant on the nine great virtues of the Buddha, it is a very good object of meditation too. And when you reflect on impermanence, you can also develop great understanding and wisdom. That's why the whole of meditation can be done in many, many ways. The three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, they are very beautiful. So develop the understanding of it and cultivate them. Then ultimately, when you awaken, you will understand everything very clearly. You will know who you are, what you are, what this form and mind is all about. And you will transcend beyond thought, beyond mind. You will understand clearly that this form and mind was never you, but you can make use of it to live life, to understand life, to develop all the appropriate cultivation, and to be a blessing to all. So this ultimate understanding is very important, and is very, very penetrative and very useful. So I will stop for now, then I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. Okay. Those who still want to meditate, you can continue. Those who have not, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Yeah? Then we will start off with the invocation to the devas. Yeah? Turn to page 6. I will read to you all the English version, the translation of the invocation. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Now we will chant. Yeah? I will start off with the Pali opening verse, then we chant the Vandana together. Yeah? Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakka Mokkhalang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Bandhata Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Bandhata Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Bandhata Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vicca Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanayiko pacatang veditadbo inohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo Anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu Sadhu.
Okay, we'll pay respect to Tripa Jam.
Vedang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay. You can be seated. Relax yourself. Then maintain some form of awareness. Then we can start our class. Okay, we will continue from where we stopped, the Diamond Sutta. We were at page 1. 8. Okay. Oh, 13, not 8. 13. Yeah, sorry. Page 13. I think we almost finished this page 13. I asked you to go back and read, I remember. How this great master, Tao Xuan. Okay, I read from the third paragraph. A second paragraph. Of those six translations, Dhamma Master Kumarajiva's is considered the finest. It was Vinaya Master Tao Xuan who discovered the reason Master Kumarajiva's translation are the ones people most like to read and recite. Vinaya Master Tao Xuan especially cultivated the precepts and rules. So that is the sila part and the monk's rules. Then in the four great deportation, see, all great cultivator, they know the four posture, daily mindfulness is most important. So this four type of deportation is the four type of posture that you have to maintain awareness throughout. Then after that, you have to connect up all these four postures. That is walking, standing, sitting, and lying down. He was extremely proper. Proper means not only he do it very well, he never missed the awareness of any of the posture. That is what it means. He was extremely proper. As is said in the Surangama Sutta, he rigorously regulated his demeanor out of stern respect for the pure Dhamma. Such deportation commands the respect of ghosts and spirit as well as that of man and God. Vinaya Master Tao Xuan was a model to all, for all to follow. The four great deportation refers to walking, standing, sitting, and lying down. Walk like the wind. That does not mean like a gale which tears down mountains, uproots trees, or blows over houses. It means like a gentle breeze. When you are mindful, the way you walk is very different. You have a lot of mindfulness and heedfulness, but not the one that use the thought to do one. Use the thought one, they look around one. Oh, they want to be very, very, like, military type, very, very proper, not that type. It's on the mindfulness is very natural, but they are very clear about their movement. No matter how fast, they are very clear about their movement. Their mind is always heedful, and as they walk, they are fully aware. So this four posture is very important. So he used the word, walk like a gentle breeze, not the kanchong type, gentle, but very, very mindful. Then stand like a pine, no need that one. stand naturally. Understand? Be in your natural state. Don't try to be rigid, like a pine tree doesn't move. No, it doesn't warrant that type of mindfulness. Mindfulness is in the natural state of attentiveness. I think this one, Xuan Hua added in on a stand like a pine. Nobody do that. Sit like a bell. This one is a bit kwa chong, sit like a bell. A bell cannot move. That does not mean like the bells clapping, always swing to and fro. Sit like the ancient bell, which will make so heavy, nothing could move them. You see, the funny thing about sitting is, if you don't understand, you become very rigid. Krena, everybody sit. They dare not even move. Then itchy like mad also, they not scratch. The ant come crawling also, they not move, they not stretch. They very scared, paisei. Then want to release the gas also, they not release. Scared people here. So all this is the thought, understand? You have been unnatural. Meditation is about the natural posture. When you are naturally relaxed and silent, you will fall into that state that doesn't move. But doesn't move alone is not enough. Understand? Outwardly, physically, doesn't move. But inwardly, everything is still moving, vibrating, chattering, and doing all those funny things. So the real sitting is, you must have the understanding, the art of, instead of listening, now, the art of relaxation. Then how to bring about the true understanding of meditation. The real meditation is silent, effortless. So why do you want to create thought that is actively trying to meditate? Understand? Why can't you just relax, silent, and be with that moment? Just be with that moment, then see what happens. Without understanding, you cannot do it. That mind, very capable, you know, it will come and tell you, hey, this is wrong, you cannot meditate like that, you must sit like that, you must, you must all this. Then you are actually not meditating, you are dialoguing, chattering inside. Then sometimes you cannot control the heedless thinking. You become unhappy, agitated, not peaceful. Then you force yourself to be peaceful. So I ask you one very simple question. Are you meditating? When you do all this, are you meditating? What are you doing actually? What are you doing? This is a very good discussion. Very good. Susan, use the mind. Yes. Push it all the way. Okay. All the way up. Okay.
Evening, Ben.
Yes.
At that point,
yeah,
I would be preoccupied with
Your thought process.
The thought process.
Very good. Means you are not meditating. Meditation is about silence. The moment you are silent, you are already aware, isn't it? You are already heedful, isn't it? Then how are you going to meditate if you are not silent? If your mind continuously want to know, continuously want to meditate, want to command, want to chatter, want to do this and do that, want to control, suppress, crave for the calm, the peace, isn't this most meditators are doing? And when you are doing all those things, are you meditating? The question is very simple. You are not meditating at all. Then don't come and ask me, what do you mean the last 30, 40 years I've been doing the wrong thing? I don't know. You have to find out yourself. Because the real meditation is just relax and silent. The moment you are silent, remember again this word, you are already aware. And the awareness is your true mind, your meditative mind, your silent mind. The problem with living beings is they are so heedless. They are never silent. Understand not? Why? Because the spiritual faculties are not strong, not stable, not developed at all. They only try to train this mind by concentrating it, focusing it, or developing all the method and technique to actually dull it. You know what is dull it? Make it mechanical. You know what is make it mechanical? Keep on noting, 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 noting. Or keep on chanting, chanting without mindfulness. Then until it become like mechanical and so, it just repeat by itself. There is no awareness at all. Then you become very calm, very peaceful. Then you go into the absorption. Then you create all the spiritual, jhanic faculties. The five jhanic faculties. From vitaka to vichara, means applied thought, to sustain thought. Then you sustain your thought there. That's how you note, you sustain. At first you apply the thought there. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Buddha, 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 Buddha. Then after that you sustain that vibration, that thought. But you didn't develop awareness. Then what happened is, after a while, the thought cannot arise. But only the chanting or the vibration is there. So naturally, your mind will become peaceful there. Then the pity will arise. That pity is the only enlightenment factor. But pity without sukha, no use. Without sati, the first factor of enlightenment, no use. Understand not? It has to come through sati. Sati is a silent mind without thought. So it comes through sati, then the piti arises, then it is useful. Otherwise, that piti will lead to sukha, because the mind focus, concentrate, no thought, everything killed into one-pointedness, absorption. Then sukha will develop into ekagata, because they hold on to the absorption, the one point, the one-pointedness. That's why it's called ekagata, one-pointedness of mind. That mind cannot move. Cannot move means what? Cannot think. But that mind is not a natural mind. Not a true mind. It's not in a natural state of relaxed awareness. That is aware and can see things very clearly. That one is full of energy. Very strong, very powerful. Can be directed to use for even psychic phenomena and all those things. But that is not the meditation that the Buddha teach. The Buddha teach the four foundations of mindfulness. In the midst of daily life, you are fully aware, heedful, with the samadhi, without thought. And that is the meditation that the Buddha teach. Not all the concentration and the focusing. That's how he got trapped initially. When he followed the two teachers, Alara and Udaka. So meditation is about developing the understanding, the wisdom. Because only wisdom can free the mind. And the mind that is conditioned is not free. So, thank you, Sister Susan, for the answer. So when you know you are creating thought, preoccupied the thought process, you are no longer in a meditative state. So why do you still want to do all those things? Why can't you just relax and be with the moment and let things be? Initially, it's very difficult, definitely. Definitely very, very difficult. But this is something very new you never do before. Like I spoke in the Klang talk, I think. You remember what day I spoke at the Klang talk? Anybody can recall? I say this type of meditation, which is the real meditation, if you don't go and give it a try, you will never understand what it is. Then you will go and have this type of funny thinking. You say, what type of meditation is this? Just aware. Nothing exciting. Understand not? Cannot see light. Cannot levitate. Cannot have the peace, the joy. Every time just silent. Do nothing. Then no need to meditate. You think like that. That's why I use that word. no excitement initially. We are to those who don't know. You think meditation is about excitement. You want to be excited. You want excitement, you go for worldly thing. A lot of excitement. The two extreme also there. It's not about excitement. It's about developing the stillness, the silence within. So that this silent mind, which is your true mind, the true nature, can insight into the phenomenon and can awaken and understand clearly the characteristics of nature. This is what you need to insight into, penetrate into. That's why vipassana, we, is the three characteristics of nature. Impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature. Anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Then vipassana is to insight into this. So if in the name of meditation, you are only focusing, concentrating and building up energy field and developing all the psychic and special meditation, are you cultivating vipassana? That is a question you have to really reflect, contemplate and ask yourself. Vipassana is an awakening that will bring about transformation in your understanding of life. The moment you awaken to the three characteristics of nature, you will see everything very clearly. Even your disforming mind, the five aggregate, they exhibit the same universal characteristic as all phenomena in this universe. All of physical, mental and nature's phenomena, they are like that. Then when you see very clearly, you are not deluded. That's why Sakkayaditi, self-delusion, the first to break. This is the first fetter that is the most difficult to break. And once you break this, you are destined to be enlightened. At least first stage of sainthood, Sotapan or Sotapatti. And when you awaken, you will start to understand clearly that the real understanding is so different from what is being perceived. Yes, meditation is not what you think when you use the thought. Thought base can never touch it, can never understand it. Thought base lead to a lot of delusion, a lot of heedlessness. And thought based meditation cannot penetrate to realize the true Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So all this, when you develop the clear understanding, you will know why. If you continue with the old way of using thought to meditate, you are not meditating at all. That's why now, modern era, there are some who use different words to teach, like Krishnamurti, J. Krishnamurti. I like this verse. He always say, wherever there is a meditator, there is no one. Whenever there is a meditator, there is no one. Very good. There is no meditation. You better get this understood. I have spoken on this many times, but I seldom write it down. Maybe write it down better. Whenever, come, one by one. Whenever there is a, oh, very good. Wow. Oh, very good. Because these are all the pointers that points towards the truth. When you understand them, you will know how to meditate. First, when you don't understand, you inquire. Why did the Buddha say that? How many of you don't agree? Don't just because Brother Teo says so. You tell me according to your understanding. Can you agree to such statement? That this is very, very revolutionary. To the normal, so-called meditator or cultivator, you know what they think or not? You want to do meditation, nobody to meditate. What type of meditation is this? Correct or not, Yijan? I sit down, I meditate. Why you say no meditator? No meditator then? Who meditate? But you forgot now. What did the Buddha teach? You meditate to realize that there is no one inside there meditating. Understand? Because it's anatta. Understand? Oh, then you somehow create the meditator. Who is the meditator? So how can thought realize a state that is beyond thought? Akaliko. Understand? That's why wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Because that form of mind is not you. Understand? And you somehow use this flow to meditate. That's why the true meditation is just silent, relaxed. Anyway, even the five ways that the Buddha teach, you remember? To overcome unwholesome thought. What are they? Unwholesome thought or mental states. What are they? This is what the Buddha taught under the sutta. Five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or mental state. What are they? The first two is thought based. What are they? Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Yeah? So that one, because the Buddha knew you can only do one thing at a time. When you have metta, you cannot have hatred. Understand? When you have love, you cannot have the opposite of non-love. Then when you have cruelty, you will definitely don't have compassion. So that's why think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, which is compassion. When you radiate love, metta, and compassion, when you develop, cultivate compassion, cruelty, selfishness, all this cannot arise. That's why think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. So this is thought-based. Understand that? Initially, you have to go through the thought, because without the thought base, most people cannot handle. That's why Huining is very different, the Platform Sutta. After the six patriarch come, you know what he teach or not? He teach the sudden enlightenment. He said, don't waste time on the mundane mind. Straight away go to the true mind, the nature. That's why Sensu completely no comparison to him. Sensu came out with a beautiful poem, you remember? Our mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. So polish it until it shines so that no dust can alight. Then he said our body is like a bohi tree. Then the mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. Polish it until it shines so that no dust can light. So this is a very, very beautiful poem that reflects the Theravada teaching very well. Where the Buddha also mentioned our body, this within this phantom body, along with perception and thought. He said he proclaimed the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to this cessation. Which means he proclaimed the Four Noble Truths and became enlightened through this phantom length body, along with perception, awareness of city and thought. This meaning is very deep, because according to the Buddha, when he taught the four foundations of mindfulness, what did he tell the monk? Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu, he start with the opening phrase. Ekayano means the only way. O bhikkhu, this is the only way for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for purification of being, leading to the enlightenment, the awakening. Namely, the four foundations of mindfulness. So the fourth foundation is what? Kaya Nupassana. First foundation. Kaya is physical body. That's why this body has it. Then Vedana, feeling. Nupassana. This body, form and mind, also has it. Then the third one is Chitta, consciousness and its content, which this form and mind also has it. Then the fourth one is Dhamma Nupassana, all of the truth within this five aggregate of form and mind. Because our mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. All of Dhamma arises. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness. So the moment you understand that the four foundation, they are all within this phantom body, that's why since you also knew, this body is like a Bodhi tree, it's a tree of enlightenment that can bring about enlightenment. But he doesn't understand the mind, because he only understands the thinking mind, the mundane mind. So he said, this mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. You know why he said that? Why mirror bright? Because the mundane mind, every time reflect in there, like a mirror in there. Reflect. Whatever that is perceived is reflected into the mirror. Then whatever images also, laterally inverted up here. All image form. And he knew, it's like a mirror bright. We keep on receiving things. Whatever is see, reflect inside. That's why it's all accumulated, whatever is here. They understand, because he think this mind is him. And this mind, he can use it, you see. That's why it's bright and it's on a stand. Means there is a center for it to operate from. There is a meditator. There is a knower. There is a human being. That's why there is a center from which it can act. So mirror bright on a stand. Then he said, every time polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. What is dust? Defilement. Unwholesome thing. That is the Buddha's advice. Avoid all evil, do good. See? Polish so no dust can alight. He think by constantly doing that until one day all the defilement no more. Then the pure bright mind is the enlightened mind. If that is the enlightened mind, I don't want to be in that state. You know why? I cannot live life. I have to every moment, every instant polish until it shines, so that no dust can lie. How to live life? Every time worry about dust and so. But Huining come along because of the understanding. He went direct to the true mind. He said originally the true mind got nothing. That's why he start the poem very beautifully. He counters Sensu's poem, he said. Bohi, which is enlightenment, is not a tree. Because he said the body is like a Bohi tree. The true enlightenment is not a tree. You cannot describe it on. Bohi is not a tree. Then, Mingjing Yifei Tai. The mirror bright understand is not the true mind. This is the mundane mind. This is not the true mind. He said the true mind originally there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? When there is nothing to hold, grasp and create, then where got dust? Understand? That's why it's so penetrating. He point direct to the nature. That's why what I want you to understand is the sudden teaching. Go straight to the true mind. Don't waste time. So if you waste time, then you go to thought-based meditation. But the Buddha very fair. He teach you from rank and file. Slowly you come out. That's why first way is think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Second way is what? Consequence and danger of allowing this unwholesome thought or unwholesome mental state, which is the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion or the five hindrance, if they continue to actually arise in your five aggregate of form and mind, what will happen? If your content of consciousness continue to have this unwholesome thought, it is the three evil root in there, root of all evil. It will make you evil. So the consequence of allowing this anger, this selfishness, this delusion to stay within your mind state will make you evil, and you will fall. Karmically, you will fall. That's why you will lose your life. That's why the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. So when you reflect on the consequence of allowing it to continue to arise, means the danger of allowing this unwholesome state or evil root to stay within your mind state, the content of consciousness, you will definitely wake up and tell yourself, my life, I do not want it to be this way. So that karmically, this nature, karmic nature, will not fall. So you will determine to abandon them, to root them out. Just like all these unwholesome thoughts, when you see the danger in them, you will avoid all evil. That's why you will start to train your mind, cultivate your mind to be heedful, to have the mindfulness, to be ever mindful of your mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought process, so that you are incapable of negativity. And before that, you need to cultivate the four right effort, so that you can purify your mind, mundane mind, at the thought level. That is what Sensei is trying to do, which is quite good, very good. But you have to go beyond thought. Beyond thought is the third way. What did the Buddha teach the third way? The third way is don't do anything. Relax, aware, and silent. When there is anger, when there is selfishness, when there is fear, how do you develop the meditation? It's all taught in the four foundations of mindfulness. What did the Buddha say? When anger is there, you must be what? You must be aware and sound. When there is greed within the content of consciousness, you must be aware. When there is fear, when there is anger, emotion, you must be aware. Aware means what? Just aware without thought, understand? Then what did he say? Don't go and fight it, don't go and control it, don't go and suppress it, because that is not your true mind. That is conditioned arising mental state. Understand? It was not there originally. Then how did it arise? It is conditioned arising through your senses. That's why the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases, for you to trace the origination factor, how they arise. Then after that, you will come to know how they cease. Because when you are aware, it means what? Like the first category of Dhamma, Dhammanupassana, awareness of what? Mindfulness of what? The first category of Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of what? The five hindrances. That's why maybe you all cannot remember or cannot understand is how to cultivate. You don't even know this essential Dhamma. No? Then how to cultivate Dhammanupassana? You go and read the book. First category of Dhamma is to be mindful of the five hindrances. Before you understand this teaching, listen to my hearing or sharing. I ask you one very sincere question. How many of you have ever cultivated mindfulness of your own five mental hindrances? How many of you? None, I tell you. Because you don't like this state, understand? Understand? Every time you arrive, you are told to note. Understand? Pain, pain, pain. Thinking, thinking, thinking. Fear, fear, fear. Anger, anger, anger. What are you trying to do? And you think these are hindrances. Hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and inner awareness. You go and fight it. The Buddha never say you go and fight it. The Buddha said there are two categories of Dhamma. The five hindrances, he explained to you very clearly. These are called hindrances because they hinder your mind from attaining or entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. That's why they are called hindrances. He said you only need to cultivate the opposite five, which is the spiritual faculty that will allow you to understand the Dhamma and overcome all the hindrance. Then all these hindrances will cease to be, because they arise due to your lack of the five spiritual faculties. I already explained how they counter each other. So instead of focusing on the five spiritual faculty, you go and note and do all those funny things with the hindrance. Yeah. You develop aversion towards the hindrance, dislike towards the hindrance. Then you try to suppress it, control it. Don't want to get angry. No. Don't want to be greedy. Good food dare not eat. Because craving. It becomes like that, no, the teaching. So when I realize that is what is happening with the way it is taught. That's why in the initial year, when I came out to share, I dare not say all this. Otherwise, nobody will attend the class. Everybody will run away. Because all this is very unconventional. Just like this statement, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. I tell you, if 10 years ago I started with this, nobody will come. He said, this one is crazy teaching. Where got like that one? So, now that there is condition for you to understand, that's why this condition is very important. Now I will hopefully it can allow this understanding to go deep into your understanding, so that once and for all you can penetrate the Dhamma. You can go to the true mind and don't waste time. Yeah, when you understand all this, then you realize living being actually wasted a lot of time. That's why they always talk about the Six Platform Sutta, winning the penetrative teaching, the sudden teaching. Last Sunday, I think not many attend, only a few attend. But those who listen to the talk, they know the Platform Sutta. You know, the two signs. Shen Hua was trying to explain, he said, when you hold the fist, it means what? Affliction. Okay? Then he said, the moment you open your fist, this is freedom, no more affliction. When he did that, the second patriarch straight away enlightened. When Bodhidharma explained that to him, he said, show me your suffering, show me your pain. Well, initially, show me your heart. Show me your heart. Then I will help you heal. Then the potential second patriarch, he looked everywhere, he cannot find his mind. He cannot find his mind. But he was looking at the mundane mind, understand? He cannot find the true mind. Then he said, if I can't even find the mind, how can I free? Then the Bodhidharma said, you are already free, because you cannot find that mind. You know why? He already understood all the mundane mind is not the true mind. Understand? That's why he said, you are already free. But you don't know you are already free until he showed his sign. Just like Alicia at Cameron Highland, remember? The fish jump up and stay there. Then suddenly the understanding comes, no? Like the fish or that some nature telling her, you already out of samsara, you still want to jump back. That's why the fish finally jump back. He said, you want to be like that. That's enough. So Bodhidharma just gave him an analogy. See? This is the five aggregate of form in mind, understand? When he clenches his fist, means what? This becomes grasping aggregate, understand? What is grasping aggregate? The first noble truth, final summary. In short, it is due to this five grasping aggregate, not aggregate, that I call dukkha, understand? That's why this is affliction. He said, the moment you don't hold and don't grasp, because you understood, then this become pure aggregate. Understand or not? Then you are free. You already no more suffering. Straight away, Erzu, enlightened. And now I show again. Huh? How many of you awaken? That's why the sudden teaching is so penetrative, understand? That is the direct teaching, understand? No! You didn't, or you did attend the class. You didn't listen to the recording yet. This potential second patriarch was a very hot temper guy. Oh. He used his beat and whack Bodhidharma until two teeth flew out. Oh. And luckily Bodhidharma knew if you whack like that and the two teeth fall on the ground, that place 3 years no rain. Out of love and compassion, he kept the tooth inside his mouth and swallowed it. Such a violent guy, you know. You say he already cultivated. You know how he becomes so tame, no? Because he was very arrogant. Before Bodhidharma came, he thought he really has the Dhamma. Because when he spoke the Dhamma, you know what happened, no? The heaven rained a lot of those beautiful things. Then earth also create the devas create a golden lotus for him to sit on. Human being look at form psychic on this one sure great Dhamma master, great enlightened being. Then Bodhidharma was there. Then he asked him a question. Do you teach like that? Is it? You teach like that? Is that the way to enlightenment? He asked you. So this what they call the potential second patriarch, that time his student know the Dhamma. No? He knew he cannot corner already. No? Every time he cannot corner, he will become very angry and he use his speed and he whack him. He said, you foolish one, you cannot understand what this teaching is. Don't ask this type of question. Then Bodhidharma just kept quiet, patient, no condition, just walk away. Then you know what happened? Not long after, this great master, he had a dream that this Yama, Gyamwong, king of hell, sent his two, they call what? The two that go in. Take people away. Go and see him. But he is a great Dhamma master. He got psychic. He can see they coming. He said, why are you here? We are coming for you. Cannot be. He said, I'm a great Dhamma master. Teaching option. He said, because you didn't understand. He said, you teach the wrong Dhamma. And you whack the one that has the Dhamma. He said, who is the one? He said, that one that you whack and the two almost come out. He said, who is he? He is the one, my master, every day pay respect. On. Wow, then he know already, chong chong already, kena kau kau. Not only very badly affected, like Angulimala, you remember? He killed 999, you think got chance to become even a sotapanna, no? But he became an arahant. No? Because the condition is like he has to whack him, then only he can tone down. Then when he realized that, he know already. Say, Lord, he said, die, Lord. He said, this time really no way out already. Then he plead. He said, please, please, please. Give me more time. I will repent. He said, tell your boss. Give me more time. I will go and see him. I will learn from him. That's how they gave him more time. Then he went there and see Bodhidharma. That time Bodhidharma was meditating facing the wall for 9 years. He knew beside almost the same time for 9 years. Then he chopped his hand. Then snow all that day until knee deep. Then Bodhidharma came out from the meditation and asked him, why are you still here? He said, I come to seek the true Dhamma which I know you have. He said, "Do you think I will teach you the Dhamma?" He said, "Look at the sky. Look at the snow. Unless the sky, the snow become red." He said. Or he just say that. No? Then you know this potential second vidya, a lot of anger. At first, like want to become very angry. Then suddenly he realized this anger is the one that destroy him. No, cannot get angry. No? Then within that sudden moment, he realized for it to rain, snow in red, he must sacrifice. That's why he chopped off his hand. Where they got a knife one? Yeah? Last time all the cultivator they got a knife. Where they scared, if they had to break precept, they would rather kill themselves than to break the precept. So he got this knife, he took it out, he just slashed his own hand. Then the thing flew up, the hand. Then all the blood stained the snow. Then he took out one handful and showed the Bodhidharma. If that is the destiny, it has happened, is it? The snow is red. Then Bodhidharma knew. He said he has found the right one. Otherwise, nobody can show that type of faith and determination to be the true disciple, worthy of the transmission. Then he told him, okay, since it is like heaven's will, that it has to happen, I will transmit to you. Then he saw this potential second period. Well, after he agreed, he has a lot of joy. That time he forgot about the pain. No? But the moment when Bodhidharma said, I will now transmit you the teaching, suddenly he realized the pain was tremendous. No? Then during that moment, he said, this is terrible, he told Bodhidharma. He said, the pain is terrible. Then he said, what happened? He said, my mind is very painful. Then Bodhidharma said, show me your heart. I will heal it for you. That's where he meditated. And he looked everywhere. Just like Ananda, cannot find the mind. At least he is better than Ananda. Ananda keep on guessing. The mind is inside the organ, behind the organ, in front of everything else. At least he knew. He said, I can't find my mind. Straight away, Bodhidharma said, you already healed. When you cannot find that mind, means that is the mundane mind, not the true mind. Means you know that they are not the true mind. Means what? Don't use these two grubs, understand or not? If it's not your true mind, why you cling to it? Why you grasp at it? Understand not? Why you so deludedly think it's still you? Understand not? That's why he used the hand like that. This is affliction, suffering. Because you give meaning, you hold, you grasp. The moment you don't grasp, you don't hold, this five aggregate is free. They are pure aggregate. This is the one you use to live. Straight away, this potential second Bodhisattva, who was so full of anger and violence, became enlightened. And he transmitted the teaching to him. Then the bud and the rope was handed over to him. But this second Bodhisattva also suffered a lot. Bodhidharma told him, don't be too eager to teach or share. You have to hide. For 40 years, he hide. Because that time, people don't accept Bodhidharma. Until the king realized he made a mistake, go and invite him. The general also cannot move him. It seems with the horse and the rope, cannot move him. So finally the king knew the affinity is no more. Then because Bodhidharma has transmitted the teaching, that's why he finally left. Then I think they thought he died. They bury him, but later on, somebody, an official, met him, saw one shoe hang with the Bodhidharma used to hold that tie or stick. Then Bodhidharma spoke to him. He said, your king will die on what day? He said, you better hurry back to the capital, he said, Luoyang, before it's too late. He said. Yeah. Then when he reached back, He said he saw Bodhidharma. Everybody look at him. He's crazy. Bodhidharma already dead long ago. Same before. Even you come back and all those things. He said, no, I saw him with one shoe. Then they decide to prove him wrong. They go and open up the grave. You know. They realize nobody inside. You know. Only one shoe left. Everything was empty. Then they realize he didn't die. And they say when he came over to China, Bodhidharma was already 150 years old. You know. That's why he lived very long. You may think it's not possible. But I can tell you one story. This one also I heard on from my teacher. He met his teacher's teacher, 600 years old, in the astral. The teacher's teacher stay in the Himalayas. A lot of this thing is beyond your mind, your thinking mind, to comprehend. So, to cut a story short, we haven't finished the five ways. That's why we had to come back to this. If you go to the direct seeing, beyond thought, beyond mind, that's why the Buddha said the third way, just silent away. Then Krishnamurti also knew. That's why he said the very flowering of this thought or this emotion is the very ending of this thought and this emotion. But they are condition arising. Remember just now, the meditation? Everything has three or four phases. The birth, sustenance, and the passing away. The sustenance phase, there are two. There is a growth phase, there is a decay phase. So you add in this, become four phase. So all phenomena is like that, condition arising. Before anger is there, there was no anger. Then how the anger comes to be? That's why you trace the origination factor. It's through one of your senses. That's why the Buddha under the Dhammanupassana, first foundation, the fourth foundation, first category of cultivation. He said when the hindrance of sensual desire or ill will is present, you must be aware. And because you're aware, you will investigate and you will come to know how the non-arisen anger come to be. True or not? Because you are silent. That's why you know. It always come when you see something or hear something or recall something. Otherwise it won't arise. Then if you silent long enough, what happened? Every state ceases to be another. Return to its original state of true mind, silent mind, stillness. Then anger ceases to be where you don't fit it with any more wrong view, wrong thought, delusion. Then when that happens, you will come to know how the arisen hindrance ceases to be. Krena. Then in the future, you say, you will come to know how the it is not possible to arise the unarisen hindrance anymore. That's why he say under the third phase of the meditation, the form and mind will know the non-arising of this hindrance in the future. It can never arise anymore. That is how you develop the wisdom. That is the real satipatthana. Understand? That's why you just silent and you understand all this. And the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases is the third category of practice within Dhammanupassana. And that is for you to do in the daily life. In the form of meditation, just silent. And you will come to know. Then the second category is what? Mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind. That's how you see physical form, mental form, feeling, perception, activity of mind, mental state, sankhara, everything. Everything that your mind can do and the consciousness, you see them coming and going, very clearly. And you understand what they are, very clearly. That's why the whole lot of four foundation of mindfulness is about the five hindrances and the five aggregate of form and mind. Then, develop sati to understand the origination factor of all these hindrance, evil roots. Then retrospectively, reverse it through wisdom. That's why the fourth way is that one. You have to develop the wisdom. Otherwise, the third way, you only understand how to cease it. And you have to do it in a formal meditation. When people make you angry, you just silent. When people make you unhappy, you just silent. But that way you cannot live life grand. Every time you got to go and silent. like the hermit, got problem, go back and meditate. That's why they say go back to retreat. You go back to retreat. 30, 40 years, still go back to retreat. Every time you come out, you cannot live life. So the fourth way, the Buddha said, you have to trace the origination factor. And it's always from your senses. That's why daily life, sati sambajana, daily mindfulness. When you trace the origination factor, you know. It is because of your wrong view that stir your mind, that react, that cause you to react and stir your mind. That's how the emotion come about, like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant sense experience. All of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, that's how they come about, because of your delusion. Self-delusion, sakkayadity, that condition you to grasp and cling. So when you trace the origination factor, then you will come to clearly understand, the next time I see something, hear something, or think of something, or aware of something, I have to straighten my view. I have to develop wisdom and understanding. Otherwise, I will continue to react like that, stir my mind like that. Then I will never change. Understand? That's why you go to retreat and develop all the calmness meditation, the thought-based meditation. Then you experience all the peace, the calm, and you thought you have great, wonderful meditation and insight. You come out, back to society and life, within 2-3 weeks, maximum 4 weeks, you square one again. You realize anger still not rooted out. Because you never straighten your view. You only think that, oh, this is it. I have awakened. Give me a minute.
Hello? Ngày câu mình đang meditation. Mang đi tiếp, xin chào, xin chào. Chọn thêm ngồi, thêm ngồi.
Sorry, my brother called me. Where was I? Oh, straighten the view, thank you. That's why you have to straighten your view. Otherwise, forget about all the formal meditation. A lot of Zen master and Dhamma master, they know. You only sit like that. Unless you have done it in the past, almost impossible to awaken. That's why the Buddha mentioned about the satipatthana, daily mindfulness, four posture, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. You have to develop that. So that the initial wisdom born of the awakening to the three characteristics of nature arise. When that arises, it's only the initial part, understand? Then you have to go deep into the balance of the four foundation of mindfulness. After sati sampajana, then only you can cultivate the four element contemplation, then the 32 part, then the 9 stages of 7-3 decomposition, then only you can go into feeling the real mindfulness. You can be with the moment of feeling, moment of activity, moment of consciousness, moment of stirring of mind, emotion, moment of consciousness. Not until you have the daily mindfulness very firmly established. You cannot do the four foundation of mindfulness. You cannot stay at feeling. Feeling cannot remain as pure feeling. That's why you label it. Pleasant, unpleasant, like and dislike. The mind is so habitual and so fast, a hindrance. Because you never straighten your view. You never develop the stability of mindfulness. Then how can you stay there? That's why I say I cultivate until my mindfulness was so stable and so clear. I can be with the moment of awareness. The moment of awareness that is aware of feeling. That is aware of perception. That is aware of the mental and physical phenomena. The very moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away, there and then the mind is with it. Aware of it. If you cannot develop that type of mindfulness, you cannot insight in the phenomenon. You cannot awaken. The slightest thought
you are gone. That's why you have to be ever mindful. That's why the real meditation is not what you think or what people think, understand? And when you understand this, you will penetrate. You will just do, don't want to know, until one day the form and mind will understand. When the realization comes, when the awakening comes, then you will know what the thing is. That's why even the bowing, the four posture, the daily mindfulness. When you do until the mindfulness arises, the form and mind will know one. It's like swimming. You try, until one day you really know how to float without having to hold on to any float. Then you know how to swim. That time you will know what the real swimming is. Not the theory part, not the word. Because you experience it. That's why sati is like that. When you do until the mind is in sati, the form of mind will know what sati is. But it cannot describe to you. I can describe to you because it has stabilized over so long. And now I can use words to explain it. Otherwise it's not easy. Initially it's not easy. Initially also I couldn't find words to describe what I realized. Because what I realized is so different from what people do and understand. And there was no word for many, many things. Even mindfulness, there was no word. That's why I coined the recent word specific phenomenal awareness. And the spacious awareness without a center. All these are new words that I created. Because before that, there was no words. Because to my nature, my understanding, when that mind is aware, it's not what people say. Nothing to do with the thought and the labeling. It's just without words. Body and mind as one. Phenomena and mind as one. That's why it's just like that. When it's aware of the moving car, there's no word one. The awareness and the moving thing, the phenomena as one. And there's no thought. And every action, every movement, the form and mind is together. No thought. That's why the sati is different. Then when I pay respect and bow, there is no thought. Even as I speak, there is no thought. How can it happen? Because you have to develop the training of it. That's why it took me 2 weeks. I think considered very fast. From the day I heard my teacher, Acharyantra, told me, the highest meditation is we choose aware. Every action, every movement in the present moment. He just told me this now. And straight away, like, it dawned upon me that this is the real meditation. But this one tied back to the four foundations. Initially, I couldn't understand the four foundations. I was asking myself, why need to be aware? Just like last time Yunjan asked me, answer nature's call, so want to be aware. Aware of what? Answer nature, just call me, answer lah, release and come on. Then later on, I come to realize there is so much different when you maintain awareness in whatever you do. The mind becomes so beautiful. And there is so much beauty in that type of meditation. Well, that type of meditation lead you back to heedful living instead of the heedless living. Then I realize, hey, this type of meditation is fantastic. That's the reason why human beings cannot do it. Because they don't understand what is this meditation. They use thought. The more thought you use, the more heedless you become. Can you understand? That's why you need to be heedful. Heedful means what? Ever mindful. And what is mindfulness? Awareness before the knowing, before the arising of thought, before the arising of the aggregate of mind. That is what awareness is. That's like the moment you are silent without thought, you are already aware. Don't try to be aware. This is the most important understand. Just train your mind to be silent, to be peaceful, to be relaxed and be with the moment. Then it will understand everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to even remember the Dhamma. All these are not necessary. The moment you understand, the Dhamma all come back to you. And even you don't have the Dhamma, the moment you hear, heard or read, you will understand.
like Hui Ning. He's illiterate, yeah. Don't know any word, yeah. He only hear. He straight away awakened. Nobody taught him anything. What did he heard? Yeah? Diamond Sutta, one verse only. The mind must have no dwelling. Straight away he got a great awakening. Why? Huh? Now I tell you, your mind must have no dwelling. He straight away know that that is the true mind. Oh. You know what is dwelling or not? How you know it's a table? Huh? You dwell on it, isn't it? You perceive it through your perception, isn't it? Through your memory, isn't it? That's why you dwell on everything, understand? Everything you see, you dwell. You give name, label, concept. Everything you hear, you give meaning, you dwell. Smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. That dwelling mind is the mundane mind, not your true mind. That's why when your mind does not dwell, means what? And now it connects back to Surangama Sutta. What did Surangama Sutta say? Perception of form is what? Oh, huh? You remember, but you haven't penetrated the meaning. You know what is perception of form is consciousness. When I perceive this form table, it is consciousness, isn't it? Correct. But I'm conscious of it through my perception, isn't it? Whereas it's non-perception. Oh. How can you not perceive this table? That's the direct seeing without word. Understand? Before the labeling, before the concept and the idea and the word table come out, like a baby sitting as they are without words. That is your true mind, understand? Or direct seeing, pure perception, no thought, no movement. That's how you see things as they are. And this one, no word, understand? Or this one, no creation, no dwelling, nothing. Understand? Or you see, when the thought arises, there will be a lot of possibility, understand? Like the seven places where the mind is, ananda, in between all the mundane mind is like that. Mundane mind can create a lot of idea and possibility, but the true mind got no words, understand? No words means what? What Alicia is trying to say is another one, understand? Because with the form and mind, understand? With the true mind. You cannot live life by just using the direct seeing, understand? If you use the direct seeing, people say you crazy. Because she has a form and mind connected, understand? That's why he said, can you be in between? And that one is for those who already have the Dhamma understanding. Because you have to act, understand? That's why I have to perceive also, finally, understand? But because the third stage of seeing, remember? First stage is what? Mundane seeing. Yeah? What is mundane seeing? It's all in this book, coming out. Emptiness. Kan san si san. Then? After the mundane seeing, you don't use the mundane mind to perceive. You develop the direct seeing. Kan san pu si san. Then, then what Alicia is trying to say is, can it be in between? He's trying to refer to the third phase of seeing. What is third phase of seeing? Transcendental seeing. Understand? Transcendental means what? If you want to say mountain, also mountain. No mountain, also no mountain. Because the third phase is transcendental. Transcendental means what? No right, no wrong. See things as they are. Deluded people use mundane seeing. Mountain is mountain. The enlightened ones see no mountain. Yeah, no mountain. That's why he don't argue with you. Understand? That's why he said, can it be in between? In between is you don't cling on to any. You neither perceive or don't perceive. You live. Live means what? You understand inside out. That consciousness is just mind-make. Understand? That's why perception of form is conscious. You understand it very clearly. Then
Whereas it's non-perception, it's wisdom. That's why they have wisdom. They penetrate. That's why they can live. They can behave like ordinary human beings, but with all the noble qualities. That's why not. Incapable of negativity, no longer deluded. That's why this form of mind, the moment is connected with the wisdom, does not become deluded anymore. And it does not hold, does not grasp, does not cling. It understands. That's why it can be at peace. No need to go back to the retreat and all those things. And now you ask. Yeah, with no thought. The moment you are silent without thought, there is no labeling. But normal human beings cannot. You know what they do or not? It is so conditioned, so habitual. Straight away, not only label or not, not only perceive, no, like and dislike. The views and opinion come in, no, comment, no. Oh, yo, this table is so lousy. Oh, this one antique. Where you buy? All this start already. Understand? Whereas the one that is fully aware and heedful is just aware. But because we have to live in this world, understand not? That's why we have to be part of the world, understand not? That's why I will still talk to you the same. But up here and in here, very clear, understand not? No reality. Everything is conditioned, arising, causal phenomena, five aggregate of form and mind. That's why human beings that don't have this understanding, they don't know how to live. That's why the conditioned and the unconditioned world, they have their own nature's law. Understand? The unconditioned is completely without any of this conditioned world's nature's law. The unconditioned is totally beyond thought, beyond mind. You cannot talk about it, you cannot describe it. And that profound emptiness, wisdom within the unconditioned is very, very penetrative and very powerful. But the mundane world doesn't have this understanding. Not until there is a form of mind that come and connect to the true mind, then develop that awakening through the direct seeing and the cultivation, then only that wisdom connected. Then only this form of mind, you can say is enlightened, can live. But this is not you, understand? This is condition arising, entity, karmically conditioned out the form of mind. For you to use, to live, to experience life, and to develop all the cultivation, and to be a blessing to all. Yeah. Anything else you want to add? What was your question, Nadia?
When we are having direct seeing, yeah.
Nothing. But that one is during meditation, when you are in your four foundation of mindfulness training that time. That's why nothing. Then your mind will understand very clearly. Then whatever people say, you will understand. Because you have seen the thing before. The direct seeing, you have seen it. You have awakened to it before. Understand not? That's why when you are completely silent, the silent mind will insight into phenomena, or will awaken to phenomena. It's not through the thought. No amount of thinking or thought can bring about awakening. Cannot. That's why Pama's reading or print that thing for sharing one. I haven't printed out yet. Send to me for editing. I just edit the last one. Yeah, he put. The direct seeing can only happen with the silent mind without thought. Otherwise, it cannot arise. Yeah. That true mind, silent, sitting as they are. That's why there is clarity. There is awareness that understand, that awaken. Yeah. But all this understanding need to be expressed out in words. Understand? That's why you need a vehicle, a form of mind. That's why the form of mind that brings about Sakyamuni, he call it the Nimanakaya. Nimanakaya is the what they call this. This body is called functional body. That perform the function of Sakyamuni. Understand? Then his spiritual inheritance, Sambhogaya Kaya, when it come and combine with this Nibbana Kaya, then this one manifests into Dhamma Kaya, teaches the Dhamma. That's how the three bodies of the Buddha come to be, and it manifests out.
Okay? Dhammakaya. The Dhamma body that teaches the Dhamma. Initially, it's Nimanakaya, just a normal functional body. Like this form is a functional body of, you all call me Brother Teo. Or my name, Teo King Kun. So this is the Nimanakaya, the functional body that performs the function of Brother Teo, this life, this segmented life as a human being. Then because of the cultivation, this nature inherit the spiritual understanding, then it combine, then it transform and share the Dhamma. Then you can call it Dhammakaya. So the form is not the thing. The form is a vehicle. The understanding is the real one. Not knowledge, not memory, not words. All those are not real. That's why the understanding is not rigid, not a knowledge. It is an understanding. That's why I cannot explain to you. You cannot learn from me on. You have to awaken yourself and realize that yourself. Like the Buddha said, he can only show you the way and the path. He tell you all the noble eightfold path. But you have to walk the path yourself and awaken the way. You have to develop your own right view. But it's only after you have developed all this understanding and the wisdom. That's why the Bodhisattva vow, you remember not? The third one. You have to interpenetrate all Dhamma. All Dhamma. No? Then only you can be a real Dhamma teacher. Otherwise, not easy to tell you. Because everyone is different. Every situation is different. Every condition is different. Every civilization is different. It's not something that you use knowledge to remember. No? Oh, like that. Brother Teo teach like that. Oh, you also do like that. You will sure go Holland, I tell you. Cannot. Everyone is different. Everybody's cultivation is different at different stages. Your karmic different, condition different, civilization, everything is so different. And everything is in a state of flux. Every moment, every instant, this form of mind is very different. And everything is not so real. And it's not like this emptiness talk. As real as can be. What happened? We already came to this understanding. Life can be correlated to existence. Existence can be correlated to the three periods of time, correct or not? The whole spectrum of time. Out of these three, which is the reality? Past already gone, future yet to come, not a reality. So, the present moment is the only reality. Moment to moment, life passes by. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. How real can life be? Understand? That's why when you see very clearly and penetratively, there is no reality. It's only the mind that hold on to it, that create continuity through thought. Understand? That's why 往事只能回味. You can only recall the past. Then like very real. Oh, last night I was with Brother Teo, we had dinner and all those things. Who tell you that? Thought. Those moments already dead and gone. Oh, like tonight. Wow, we had a very good session with Brother Teo. The moment you walk out, the session is gone. Even as I speak, this moment is gone, dead and gone. Then how real can it be? Well, this is the only reality in life, no? And the highest in life. No? That's why you cannot silence your mind to be with the moment, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. To experience all the pristine beauties and wonders of life. How can you live? Yet this is the only reality, you know. The present moment. And the present moment is so ephemeral. You know why it's ephemeral? Doesn't last. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. And every moment just passes by like that, you know. That's why I always ask this question, moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? You're too busy. No, too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. You miss out. Worry of everything. Health problem lah, children's problem lah, relationship problem lah, career problem lah, money problem lah, financial problem lah. There are all sorts of problems. No? Sometimes your car also got problem lah. Then, when you are not in your good health, you also have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. Then you don't know who you are, what you are. Scared of dying lah. Fear of death. Fear of going senile. Come with old age. So all these are your very, very real hidden fear, because you don't have wisdom, you don't understand who you are and what you are. And you constantly grasp and cling onto this form and mind, thinking that this is what you are. That's why you worry about it getting old, getting sick and die one day. And you think you are the one going to die. You are the one having to endure all this suffering when you confront old age, sickness and death. That day I heard on the radio news, not bad, this one is a medical research one, but they don't know how to use the Dhamma word. So they ask, they say a lot of those people who are less fortunate, who don't have the means, even those who have the means also they suffer. They say as they go through old age, they become very miserable. And you know what are the research that they receive? The complaint that come to them. They say as they grow old, they lost everything. You agree? I realized that word was very profound. No? They lost everything. First thing they lose is what? When they retire. They lose their job. They lose their income. That's all. Unless you have your saving and your whatever. Then they lose their friend. One by one die. Their parent, their grandparent, everyone. Then they lose their health. Understand? They lose their eyesight. They lose their ability to be like before. Oh. Then they lose their memory. Oh. That is the most scary. Then they start to lose a lot of things that they used to have. That's why say everything is like separating from them. You say, not like before. Now you see the first noble truth reality. The Buddha talked about separation. That one really, really very deep meaning. Separation from love, one end. Possession, all things. Your business, your dream, your whatever, all you lost them. And overnight, when your breath stopped, everything you lost. Even your identity also gone. How can you own anything? Everything is no longer yours. But don't wait until last minute to understand all this. And the worst is, after the breath stopped, they still don't understand. They continue come back through samsara. The unending story. That's why you see that show. Never ending story. They never end. We got samsara. Never end. Okay, 10:30. Ayo, today didn't move one page or so. But quite interesting, huh? The Dhamma is so profound. One page also cannot cover. How did we went into all this? Where did I hit then we went into all this? No, after that I think. The bell. Yeah, the four pusher, from there we go in. Or the satipatthana, the real meditation, the silent mind. Then we end up here. But today is a different way of approaching the understanding. You realize that? That is to actually speed up the understanding. Because if I don't approach from that way, you cannot link the surangama Jai Krishnamurti's Rangama and the cultivation, you cannot link. Today when you go away and listen again, I tell you, you are going to penetrate somehow. Last time, no condition, I cannot go into all the. Last time I go into all these, are all chow, I tell you, nobody left. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, I rejoice too, because there is condition. They want to listen, not only living being, human being, they also want to listen, because they also know these are the type of sharing, very difficult to come by, and the setup. So you should actually have gratitude and thank your own good karma. Have great joy and gratitude that you have such affinity to receive all this understanding. And you only need to put in your perseverance, develop the faith, then sincerely walk this path, develop perseverance, and you will awaken, I tell you. This era very easy. Actually, this year is going to be even more powerful. A lot of Kayanamitta, I tell you, this year will move like anything. Wait till this book come out. Before the end of this month. Maybe earlier. You pass through the printer already. Wow, so fast. Good. So this one you don't worry. We got 1,000 copies. More than that. This one, I tell you, is going to be very penetrating. And it's going to combine with the green book. Who are you? What are you? Who are you? What are you? Is the first phase to explain to you clearly what the thing is. But that one don't have the Heart Sutta penetrative teaching. This one is the Heart Sutta penetrative teaching on emptiness. And this one very clear with the example, everything. That's why that this talk, some forces is trying to stop it. It's all written inside here. And it's only 60 pages, not much. But it was a very beautiful transcript. And we should thank the editorial. We should thank the editorial committee. They did a great job. And this one I must express a very sincere thank to Pamasuri, who originally volunteered to do the transcript. You should rejoice. And also to Chui, Chui, Sister Chui, she is there. She was the one that actually put in a lot of effort to help me point out my mistake. Because I got a lot of this colloquial English, which actually, after he explained to me, I read again, I realize what she says is very true. But the Dhamma, I cannot change. There's a certain part where the Dhamma, if after that change, that Dhamma cannot stand out, I retain back and improve only on the colloquial standard opening verse and ending verse. But those in between, even I retain the so-called my way or expression, it is important because the Dhamma can be understood in that way. You are used to my way of expressing things. And I keep on repeating those words as real as can be, is only within the moment. Split second is dead and gone. People who want to read it as an English book cannot understand what I say. Because this is colloquial English, understand? Like just now we say, kao lat liao, how to understand? Hokkien also come in. Mandarin. But at least we have the understanding among us. So more important is the message of the Dhamma. So we should thank both of them. Also, Ng B and Alan and many of the editorial committee who helped in the whatever. Pali word trans, what they call check and all those language check. So we rejoice with them all. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Actually, this book, I felt very good when I read it. Because the front part, especially the first 12 or 13 pages, it has been improved. The English, flow of English has improved a lot. Then the later part also, not so much of like understand or not, right or not, isn't it? Oh, that one must thank you. He said, hey, got people write book like that one, relative. Not more than two, is it? You all over the place, is it? Because that time, very worried, you all cannot understand. And nobody talk understand or not. Do you understand? Not understand or not. Right or not. Who can understand this style of English? But Malaysian style can. Expression. So you listen to the recording lah. But this one is for a wider audience, like actually So anyway, it turned out beautiful. I really rejoice. I really would like to thank everybody, even all Kayanamitas, because you also partake in this wholesomeness. We use your Kayanamita fund to print all this book. So you should rejoice and thank yourself too. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits, then we end. If you got any question, write it down so that next Tuesday we can have it. Share our merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anmo tua rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will do the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, the last one is your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of all these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. You got send your address WhatsApp out or not? Oh, what about WhatsApp? Anybody can help her to put it up? No. The map. Google map. No, Google map.